Beautiful. Got your Bibles open up to Colossians chapter 2. We'll be there in just a second. 27 years ago this weekend, one of the pastors at the church that Cindy and I were serving at in Fort Worth preached a message about overflowing thankfulness the weekend after Thanksgiving. And when he was talking and speaking and describing it, he said, overflowing thankfulness, thankful beyond thankfulness. And when he said that, as would happen to me a lot in those days, he spoke words, but I heard music in my head. It was like, there's a song in there. There's something more in there. And sure enough, the next week, this is what came. Overflowing thankfulness, thankful beyond thankfulness. Oh, that my heart would be like this. Rule me with your peace, set my heart at ease. Oh, Lord, my God, would you please fill me again, fresh and new. Fill me with love, with passion for you. Make my heart soft and true. Make me joyfully thankful to you. And for 27 years, I've been singing that and asking the Lord to do that. And this weekend, I'm going to talk some about overflowing thankfulness. I've been thinking about it for several weeks now. This with Thanksgiving on the horizon, you know, you start thinking about what do you talk about at Thanksgiving and all of that. And the Lord actually opened up what's turned into a three-part series on thankfulness. Started a couple weeks ago, last week, and then this week. And as I've been thinking about it, it occurred to me that there's a spectrum of expressive gratitude that goes all the way from overflowing thankful beyond thankfulness that can't be held in to the other side, where it's just a sacrifice of praise that we have to choose to make, a sacrifice of thankfulness that we choose to make in spite of what's going on around us at the time. And I know there's plenty of ways to express gratitude and plenty of ways it gets done between those two opposites, but this weekend, I want to take a closer look at both ends of the spectrum. So Colossians 2, beginning in verse 6. So then, just as you have received Christ, Jesus as Lord, continue to live, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So then, just as you received Christ, that Greek word for received describes the willful choice to come alongside and to draw near to God. The pure word adds, as you have each received Christ Jesus as Lord, you must by your choice be continuously walking with him. Remember, the decision to surrender the control of our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is a starting point, not a final destination. The message says, you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, now live him. And the Amplified describes live him as regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. This weekend we were, this last week we were up in Bedford at Cindy's folks' house and staying there. Got to see our Texas kids and a couple of Texas grandkids and one more that's still in the womb coming out in first part of the end of the year, first part of January. So great to be together with them. But on the last night that we were there, Cindy's mom and I got talking and she was sharing some of her testimony that I had never heard before. And she had went through some hard things when she was growing up. And she was living in Lubbock and all kinds of things were going on, but she ended up at a church service and there was this crazy storm coming and they said, we're not leaving until the storm is passed. And in that service, she gave her life to the Lord. And I was laughing because it was like the enemy was doing everything he could to keep her from getting to church because this storm, she went anyway. And then the storm came and the Lord said, I'll work with that. We'll keep you here until the storm passes. And anyway, she gave her life to the Lord in that service. Well, then not too long after that, things were still going hard. And so her parents asked the pastor from that church to come talk to her. And Cindy's mom is of a personality type that when she doesn't want to talk to you, like her physical body's there, but she's not there anymore. It's just like, she's still there, but you know. So the pastor came and was talking to her. And in my mind, as she was telling me the story, I was picturing like those Peanuts characters where the teacher is talking, wah, 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 wah. You know, that's, she said, I wasn't hearing anything that he was saying. But one thing he said pierced through that, and it was, you need to get to know Jesus. You need to get to know Jesus. And that one thing of all that he talked to her, that pierced her, and that started her on a journey of starting to read the Bible and read the red, because she said, that's Jesus' words, I'm going to read it. And she said the first
year or so that I was reading it, it was like, this is crazy talk. This doesn't even make sense. This is, you know, whatever. But she said, I kept reading it over and over. And all of a sudden it was like, this isn't crazy. This is the real. And the rest of it needs to come into alignment with that. And it's just sent her on an amazing journey, an amazing path. She's just an incredible woman of God. But it started, moment of salvation, and then a preacher speaking to her, whatever he said, but he said this phrase, you need to get to know Jesus. Listen, we need to get to know Jesus. That's a word for every one of us. The choice to be continuously walking with him initiates a chain reaction of events as we progress further into our union with and conformity to him. And when we continue to live and walk in Jesus, two essential things take place. One, we get rooted and built up in him. And two, we get strengthened in the faith. The Passion Translation captures the spirit of the original language and describes how this happens. Your spiritual roots go deeply into his life as you are continually infused with strength and encouraged in every way. For you are established in the faith you have absorbed. And as I read those words, I picture Psalm 1 like a tree planted by streams of living water. Those trees that are planted by the streams, their roots go deep. And every day they're pulling that life, they're pulling that water. And as we plant our roots in God, same thing is happening. We are pulling up life into ourselves. He's pumping into us the life and the hope and the encouragement and the faith that we need. The pure word says this way, now being made rooted, it's a work in progress, being made rooted, you are being built up with him and being made established just as you have been taught. And the message says you are deeply rooted in him, you are well constructed upon him, you know your way around the faith, now do what you've been taught. School's out, quit studying the subject, start living it. Now living well in Christ, I think, depends on two important things. One, learning well the truth of Scripture. We need to be in the Word. We need to be people of the Word. We need to study the Word. We need to become the Word. That's part of living well in Christ. But part two is walking in step with the Spirit as we learn how to put those words into practice. We need both sides of that. We need to take hold of both of that, because the more we let our roots go deeply into Christ, the more we grow in our understanding and the applications that come with the experiential knowledge of putting our faith to work. And the more naturally we'll find ourselves overflowing with thankfulness. But listen, thankfulness, and all the more so overflowing thankfulness, is always a choice. The Message Bible casts it that way. Let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Make the choice. Let your living spill over into thanksgiving. The Passion says to be enriched by your overflowing with gratitude, devotion to him. You see, thankfulness in and of itself was not meant to be the end. Instead, as we choose to overflow with thankfulness, our dedication and connection to Jesus gets strengthened and our hearts stay soft and attentive to his Spirit and his Word. And all of that helps us stay salty, and all of that keeps our light shining for his namesake and his glory. No doubt about it, choosing to be thankful, being thankful, is a game changer. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principle of this world rather than on Christ. Of course, there are always a lot of things going on in the world that want to steal and quench our thankfulness. Here in Colossians 2, Paul specifically warned about falling for philosophies of life based on human ideas and experience. The Message Bible says, watch out for people who dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. Today, as we have to face and listen to and deal with an almost never-ending amount of intellectual double talk that's being propagated with a religious zeal about things like critical race theory and vaccines that aren't vaccines and mandates that are unconstitutional or costing people their jobs and a handful of other misguided initiatives that are part of an extended psychological operation feeding, fostering division and strife among us every level. All of that can make a serious drain on our thankfulness. But God, he's faithful. He promises he won't let us be tested beyond our ability to endure. And when the testing comes, he always provides a way for us to stand up under it. So it's on us to keep our hearts and our minds and our eyes and our ears and our wits focused on him and turned toward him. In the midst of all that's going on, God is with us and God is for us. His grace will be sufficient for every need. and his spirit will help us maintain and sustain healthy, overflowing levels of thankfulness. Now, when this letter was originally written, Paul was writing to protect these relatively new believers from several mistakes. The error of mixing their Christianity with pagan religious thoughts and ideas. The error of letting their new faith get bound up in the old legalism of Judaism. The error of believing Gnostic ideas that denied the divinity and the supremacy of Jesus. And still to our day, we have to deal with some of those crazy religious ideas. Who's right, and how does a person really live the Christian life? All those struggles are still there. But there's also several other mistakes we need to be on the alert for and protected from today. The goal is the same, to get us to capitulate to humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world system and not on the anointed truths of the anointed one. Today, clouded judgments are openly promoting racial division, socialism, communism, and one world government. The Amplified says, see to it that no one carries you off and makes you captive by so-called philosophy, intellectualism, vain deceit, idle fantasies, and plain nonsense. As best as I can tell, politicians on both sides of the aisle and at every level, majority of the media, the biggest tech media, social platforms, and sadly even many mainline churches and agencies have agreed together in an effort to promote something that's trying to disconnect us from the Christian roots and destiny of our nation. And the open question of the day remains the same as it's been all year long. What will we, the people, do? How will we, the people, respond to this never-ceasing barrage of lies? And the pure word says, you must continuously, by your choice, be seeing that not anyone will be spoiling you through philosophy and delusional deceitfulness. That Greek word for spoiling literally means being led away as plunder after a military defeat. And it comes from the combination of words to rob and to lead and move by persuasion and influence. Whenever we stop seeing continuously by our choice that not anyone will be spoiling us, we're setting ourselves up for a significant defeat. When we surrender to the ways of the world, when we give in to the language and the pressures of so-called woke ideals, if we just hunker down and accept, well, let's just go along to get along as an approach to life, then we'll find ourselves becoming so compliant that we become complacent. And just like that, we'll be living on human traditions and the basic principle of this world rather than on Christ. The error of falling for this is much bigger than we realize. But there's a better way. We can live in the fullness of Christ's way. Look at verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And then Paul personalized the truth. And you have been given fullness in Christ. You have been given fullness in Christ. Living in what we've been given, fullness in Christ, isn't a to-do list. It's not something that we have to hope maybe we can work into someday. Instead, it's presented as both a present tense reality and an ongoing work. The pure word highlights both sides of the equation. You are now, present tense, being made fulfilled in ongoing work in him. You are now being made fulfilled in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And as we work out the ramifications and benefits of salvation, the Holy Spirit actively works within us to transform us by the renewing of our minds and to conform us more and more into the image of Christ. The King James actually says it this way, we are complete in him. And that Greek word complete means abundantly supplied, to cram a net full, to level up a hollow place, to be fully furnished. We are complete in him. Already, at the moment of salvation, you have been given everything you need for life and godliness. All the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control you will ever need is already inside of you. You don't have to pray to get more. You got to pray to unlock what's in you, but you have been abundantly supplied. You are complete in Christ. How complete? So complete that it's a picture of a net full. Like, he can't give you anymore. So many times we envision ourselves as lacking, and God's no, you got the wrong picture. You are so full. You are busting at the seams with all that I have already invested and given to you. Yeah, but there's just some things that have happened. There's some places I've been and some things that I've done. And it's just like, I just know I don't measure up. No problem. I'll level up the hollow places. What I'll do inside of you, you are so complete in me that I'll take those dips out and I'll make it smooth. I'll level things up for you. Yeah, but still some stuff. I have fully furnished you. You're not having to go buy furniture. You're not having to go buy pictures for the wall. You're not having to go buy groceries for your refrigerator. This house is ready. I have completed. You are living in a made-ready, fully furnished and equipped house. Live in me. You are complete in me. The Message Bible says everything of God gets expressed in Christ so that you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize fullness in Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. The Amplified says, and you are in him, made full and have the fullness of life. In Christ, you are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Christ, you reach full spiritual stature. The big idea behind already being given fullness in Christ is an open invitation that includes each one of us living, growing in an ongoing personal and conversational relationship with God the Father, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit. I said to you earlier, the phrase that cut through to Cindy's mom, we need to get to know Jesus. You need to get to know Jesus. Well, as it turned out, you need to get to know the Father and the Holy Spirit too. Don't just settle for whatever you think you know about Jesus. Press in for more about Jesus, but press in to know more about the Father. Last week we did some ministry at the end and gave some hugs and different things at the end because different fathering situations, different mothering situations, those get in the way sometimes of relating to that side of who God has revealed himself to be in a healthy way. Well, we need to get to know that side of God. There's things about the Father heart of God that we need to know, that it's important for us to walk in. There's also some things about the Holy Spirit we need to know. A lot of times people will be comfortable with the Father and comfortable with Jesus because that seems pretty predictable. But the Holy Spirit, whew, you never know what in the world he's going to do. And so a lot of people will stay, he might make me do something crazy. Yeah, he might. He might. But we need to get to know the Holy Spirit. We need to know his voice. That's the voice of Jesus that's inside of us. And so if we ignore that, then we're left to our own reasoning, our own thought. What would Jesus do? We come to our own conclusions rather than having the voice of the Spirit speaking into us and giving us directions, clear directions. As it turns out, we need to know the Father. We need to get to know Jesus. We need to get to know the Holy Spirit. Flip over to Hebrews 13. Like the new believer Christians that Paul wrote to in Colossae, the writer of Hebrews sent a letter to new Jewish believers who were facing a hard time and persecution for their faith in Jesus. Some of them were wrestling with the idea of leaving the community of believers and returning to Judaism to escape the mistreatment from their peers. On top of that, the Romans had started making distinctions between the followers of Jesus and the Jews, and a person would have to walk away from their newfound faith in Jesus in order to get back under the protective covering that Judaism had as a legal religion in the Roman Empire at the time. The book of Hebrews rotates back and forth between teaching points and applications, first explaining truths about Jesus and from the scriptures and traditions of Israel, and then urging people to respond to these truths. Near the end of his concluding remarks, the writer made an important point about the other end of the expressing gratitude spectrum. Look at verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 13. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Through Jesus. You know, when times are hard, when things around us are just messed up and not going the way that we think they should be going or not going the way that we need them to go. Trying to dial up a dose of thankfulness in our own strength, sometimes it can just feel pretty contrived and even totally insincere. And while there is a saying, fake it till you make it, God's got a better option from that because we are never left just in our own strength. We don't have to fake it. We have been given fullness in Christ. What we need to do is tap into that reality, and then through his fullness, we can honestly offer a sacrifice of praise to God. In 2 Peter 2, it says, as you come to him, the living stone, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. Sacrifices, in particular, thank offering sacrifices, go all the way back to Genesis. But we know, as the writer of Hebrews did, that the Old Testament sacrificial system has been set aside for a new and better covenant Jesus has provided for us. The Message Bible says it this way: no longer pouring out the sacrificial blood of animals, but pouring out sacrificial praises from our lips to God in Jesus' name. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. That Greek word continually can mean through all time, constantly, even always. But as I've been looking into that this week and digging deeper into it, I think let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise is more of an emphasis on when we have access through Jesus, which is continually, to offer a sacrifice of praise, rather than how often we're supposed to do it. And this Greek word offer reveals that a sacrifice of praise will take effort. It doesn't happen accidentally. The Greek word for offer means to take up, to bear up, and it comes from the combination of words to carry up severely. So this kind of offer is meant to take us up into another level of our thinking and our awareness. The word for sacrifice is used to describe the act or the victim of sacrifice by fire, literally or figuratively, but it doesn't imply any negativity. Instead, it speaks of a voluntary offering. Psalm 51, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. Romans 12, 1 says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable. This is your spiritual act of worship. When we choose to live from that place, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a great price. I joyfully submit to you, Lord. Here I am, I'm yours, use me as you will, any and every way you can. When we live like that, it starts taking the edge off the demands our flesh often makes related to our rights. And living sacrifices are also able to make a sacrifice of praise more instinctively. Sacrifice of praise. This is the only time this Greek word for praise is used in the New Testament. As it turns out, there are 9 different Greek words translated praise in the New Testament, which I thought was pretty cool, because last week I was talking about there being 9 different Hebrew words translated praise in the Old Testament. So there's a match that happens there. And this word for praise specifically means an act of praising, specifically a thank offering. And it's another example of thanks and praise being inseparable. But digging deeper into the word, this word points to an act of praising delivered in story form. It points to an act of praise that comes out as a testimony of thanks and praise to God. Our words contain the power of life and death. And so the story we tell ourselves, as well as the story that we tell other people, the testimony that we speak out when we're being squeezed and tested by life is so important. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Sometimes you just got to talk to yourself like that when your soul's going the other way. In Greek, this fruit of lips that confess his name describes plucked fruit. So it's a word that means to go pull it from the tree and put it into practice. Not just, isn't that pretty fruit on the tree? No, this is an action word. This is fruit of lips that confess his name. Confess is an assent to and a reminder of a freely and openly professed covenant relationship that we have with God and that he has with us. The Amplified says, the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. The New Living Translation says, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. The Passion says, a steady stream of praise sacrifices. These are the lambs we offer from our lips that celebrate his name. One time, Moses was interceding with God on behalf of the children of Israel, and he said to the Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord loved that request, and he honored that request, and then Moses pressed in. He said, now show me your glory. And shortly thereafter, God put Moses in the cleft of a rock and covered him with his hand. And as the goodness of the Lord passed by, God proclaimed his name, the Lord. The Lord. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. that it doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. One very specific way to start turning the conversation inside ourselves away from negativity and grumbling and complaining and into a sacrifice of praise is to remind ourselves and declare some of the names of the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the compassionate and gracious God. He's the lover of my soul. He's the keeper of my heart. He's the one who forgives wickedness and rebellion and sin. All God's names have power. All of his names are invitations to experience God in those ways. And proclaiming his name in the face of contrasting feelings, thoughts, emotions, and circumstances makes a tangible draw upon his mercy. It pulls more of him into our life and invites more of the peace and the presence of Jesus in our lives. And sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes just reconnecting with his name creates the clarity and causes the clouds and the fog to lift and the light to shine, and we see. Sometimes, more often than not, though, it doesn't produce an immediate change in the circumstances that we can see, but the false strongholds, the deceptive houses of thoughts that have been messing with our minds will not be able to stay. They start losing their grip because light dispels darkness and truth dispels lies and perfect love drives out fear. And with our sacrifice of praise, as we call on the names of the Lord, we enter into the stronghold fortress of hope that's found in all of his names. Look at verse 16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Another important dynamic to making a sacrifice of praise is getting out of our own space and into blessing mode toward other people. The Amplified says, do not forget to or neglect to do kindness and good, to be generous, to distribute and contribute to the needy, for such sacrifices are well-pleasing to the Lord. Although any needy person is an eligible target for blessing, the original readers would have understood these words to be an admonition to be particularly on the lookout for ways to bless and be a blessing to other believers in the church. Galatians 6 mirrors the same message. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Something deep inside of us wakes up every time we're able to genuinely bless and help someone else in their time of need. And all the more so if we ourselves are in a needy place. It's one thing when everything's going great to go be a blessing to people, but when you're missing, when you got lack in your life, when there's stuff that's just not like it wanna be, and you're not, step out of that and step into, find a way to be a blessing to somebody else. Quit being stuck just looking at your own self and your own problems. Step out of that and find a way to be a blessing. It wakes up something deep inside of us when we ourselves bless somebody and we're in a needy place. When through Jesus, we get to be his hands and his feet to somebody else in our world. And you watch and see what happens as those actions unlock an internal thankfulness. God, thank you. In the midst of my lack, when things were all messed up, I still got to be a blessing. You still used me. I thought I was disqualified. I thought I'd messed it up too bad. But you can still use me. I don't have to have all my ducks in a row to be a blessing to other people. No, we just have to be obedient. We just have to be walking in him. We just have to be willing and available. The truth is, thankful praise runs from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament and right into our being today. It's one of the benefits that comes with being a born-again child of God. And beyond that, we all really have so much to be thankful for. We really, 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 really are blessed in so many ways. So wherever we happen to currently be on the gratitude spectrum, from overflowing thankful beyond thankfulness to, okay, I need to make a sacrifice of praise today. Choosing to be expressively thankful, choosing to find ways to release and demonstrate thankfulness is the healthiest, most God-honoring way for us to live our lives. In the here and now, I think Jesus deserves for a lot of his followers to be choosing to live expressively thankful lives through him, through him. And I think we ought to be a whole bunch of them. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we have been given in you, fullness in Christ. Fullness in Christ. Even right now, Lord, break off the hindrances in our mindset that would cause us to see ourselves smaller than you see us. And open us up to see ourselves as you do. Open us up to take hold of the gifts and the talents and the treasures that you have invested into our lives. And help us put those things into practice. Lord, I pray that you would just allow thankfulness to rise up inside of us. I pray it would push away negativity and grumbling and complaining. And you'd open our eyes to see just how truly blessed we are. And even when our situation isn't a blessing to us, that we can still be a blessing to somebody else. Open our eyes up to people around us. And especially those of us in the body of Christ, Lord, that need each other. We're here for a reason, a purpose. We're not meant to go through life alone. We need each other. And help us, Lord, even before people have to raise their hand and ask, to just see spontaneous, cool ways that we can bless and encourage each other and give practical demonstrations. God loves you. He sees you. He's thinking about you because he put you on my heart. I was praying for you. I wrote you this note. Here's a little cash I can slip to you. Just whatever it would be. Lord, use us to build and strengthen this family that we get to be part of here at Impact. And any place else in the world you want to send us, we're your hands and feet. Use us, Lord. And we thank you for the privilege of that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right.